From Ascension Lutheran Church in Citrus Heights, California, this is the sermon for Sunday, March 13, 2022, the second Sunday in Lent. The preacher is Pastor Scott Jones.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. The Holy Gospel according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you and
peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been reading and preaching through the Gospel of John since Epiphany. And one of the unique things about the narrative lectionary is that we are hearing and encountering passages that from John's Gospel in times different than we're used to hearing them or encountering them. For example, this morning we read the story of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And we would typically read that on Maundy Thursday. But here we are on a Sunday morning, well before Holy Week, reading that. And John tells this story, doesn't tell us actually that it was happening during Holy Week. He tells this story and says only that it was before the festival of the Passover. Because for the Gospel writer of John, he's not so concerned what the date was. He is more concerned about the context in which the events occurred. So we read that Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. This theme of the hour coming has been recurring in John's gospel. You may remember back in the second chapter of John at the wedding at Cana, Jesus' mother asks him to do something about the fact that they've run out of wine, and Jesus replied quite infamously, "Woman, what concern to you and me? My hour has not yet come." Then again, to the woman at the well, Jesus says, "The hour is coming when they will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." And when the Pharisees want to arrest Jesus during the festival of the booths, they do not lay a hand on him, according to John, because Jesus' hour had not yet come. These are just a few of the references made in John's gospel to the coming of the hour when God's glory will be revealed. But now it appears as though the hour has come. It is after Jesus has healed the man born blind and referred to himself as the good shepherd and said, "I am the resurrection and the life." It is after he has demonstrated his power over death by raising his friend Lazarus from the grave. It is after Mary has anointed his feet with costly perfume and wiped them with her hair, which occurred in chapter 12 that we skipped over. It is then that Jesus says of that anointing was done to prepare for the day of his burial, which we know now is not too far off. What you will notice from now until Easter is that we are reading the stories that we typically find during Holy Week, and that's when we would expect to read and hear them. And what takes only a couple of chapters in the other Gospels to tell the story of John spends 7 chapters on Holy Week. A huge portion of his gospel is spent to tell the story of Holy Week. So we're going to spend between now and Easter reading through John's telling of the story of Holy Week. It's going to seem unusual to those of us who show up for services during Holy Week, but for the rest of you, it's about time you heard these stories. And by reading these passages now, we don't have the time constraints we do during Holy Week. We can spend a little more time to reflect on them. But now the hour has come, and Jesus has set into motion the events that will lead to his arrest and his crucifixion. Now we know that the Pharisees are looking to arrest Jesus, and we know that he has gathered with his disciples for a meal. And very early in the telling of this story, we learn what Jesus already knows. And that's that one of the 12 will betray him. And then we as the reader learn what Jesus already knows, that that person is Judas. And the knowledge of this hangs like a cloud over the table, but it doesn't seem to impact how Jesus interacts with Judas. For during the supper, we read that Jesus got up from the table, which you would have imagined would have caused quite a stir. He took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. He poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with that towel. In 2 mere verses, in 2 sentences in English, John describes Jesus' transformation from guest of honor to the lowliest of servants. Foot washing was not something that was typically done for you. It's a bit like washing your hands. It's awkward to have somebody else help you wash your hands, right? And that was the case then. Only in very special occasions would a servant be asked to wash the feet of anybody else. And whoever that task was assigned to, they understood it to be about the lowest thing that they could be asked to do. Yet there was Jesus, the one who the disciples called Lord and teacher, and now he was washing their feet. Simon Peter, the disciple who would later deny Jesus, questions him about what he is doing. Jesus says, "You don't understand what I am doing now, but later you will understand." You see, it is not yet the hour for Peter to understand what Jesus has done, is doing, or will do. But eventually, not too soon, eventually Peter will understand. And when Peter refuses to let Jesus wash his feet, Jesus tells him that unless he washes his feet, he will have no share of him. Now, some have suggested that this foot washing and teaching is also true of baptism. And we, like Cooper, who will come forward in a few minutes, when we come to the waters of baptism, we receive cleansing and we receive a share of Jesus, a share of the resurrection, a share of the grace that God has given to and for all of us. And if Peter couldn't or wouldn't receive the gift of Jesus lowering himself, demeaning himself, offering himself by washing his feet, how would Peter ever be able to receive the gift of grace that was offered by Jesus when Jesus lowered himself, demeaned himself, offered himself upon the cross for his sins? The hour had come. And Jesus is trying to prepare Peter and the rest of the disciples for what would soon take place. If you can't receive this act of service and servitude, how ever would you receive the gift of Jesus offering his life for you? Well, after Jesus washed their feet, he put back on his robe and returned to the table. And then he asked them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" It's a question Jesus could ask of us today. Do you know what I have done to you? Do you know what I have done for you? Jesus doesn't wait for a reply, but instead explains that they are correct to call him teacher and Lord. And then comes the challenge, the red letter challenge, so to speak. Jesus is speaking when he says, "So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." Have you ever done that? Have you ever washed someone else's feet? I'm not talking about the feet of a little baby as you're washing them in the sink, and aren't they cute, and you can hardly keep your fingers off of them because, oh, they're just so pudgy and cute and soft. But have you ever asked somebody to remove their shoes and knelt or sat before them and washed their naked feet? And not just the people you know, but how about a stranger's feet? Our feet are one of the most vulnerable parts of our body. And when they are injured or sore, they have the ability to impact the rest of our body, you know, our alignment and our efficiency. And have you ever walked with a limp, and pretty soon that limp becomes more pronounced, and now you're trying to adjust it, and now your back is sore and your hip is sore? Good foot care is important for all of us, but especially for those who rely upon their feet because they have to walk everywhere. Because of that, there's a ministry to the homeless in the Twin Cities that Kathleen made us aware of during Text Talk this week. It's called Soul Care for Souls. Soul Care for Souls. Could you see my foot? That's as high as I can get it. And this ministry has locations around the city where they set up foot care clinics. And they work in volunteer teams of two, one medical professional and another person whose job it is to just sit with the person, to hear the person's story, to pray with and for the person. What a great, tangible example of a response to Jesus' instruction to the disciples and to us to do as he has done for us. And I don't think foot washing and foot care. yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think that's all that Jesus is talking about here. The foot washing provides a tangible example of what we as followers of Jesus are commanded to do, which is to humble ourselves, to take the posture of a servant as we lovingly serve one another. Jesus reinforces his command a few verses later in the chapter. We didn't read them this morning, but I know you've heard them. When he says, "I give you a new commandment," we read this on Monday, Thursday. "I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So what does it mean for us to love one another as Jesus loved us? Clearly, foot washing is an example of what that might look like, how that might be expressed. But if we look a little more closely at this story, as we did the story of Lazarus last week, we might discover something that we've missed, something we've never noticed about Jesus' command to do as he has done to us, to love others as he has loved us. Remember, I called your attention that very early in the telling of the story, we learn what Jesus already knew. Judas is going to betray him. And then we read that Jesus washed the feet of all of the disciples. Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him. The devil had already come in him. And then Jesus washed the feet of all of the disciples, every one of the disciples, even Judas. So Jesus knew that Judas would soon betray him, and still he bowed in front of him, and he washed his feet. Do as I have done to you, Jesus says. Could Jesus be suggesting to the disciples and to us that we should love and serve those who we already know are going to betray us? They can't be trusted. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says. When I hear these words, I begin to think about the cost. What's it going to cost me to love somebody else the way that Jesus has loved me? Will it cost me my pride to set aside that pride and humble myself and serve someone who I know will take advantage of me? And then I think about how Jesus has loved me. As he made his way to the cross and allowed himself to be crucified for Judas, for me, for you, for Cooper, knowing that I will betray him. I've done it. I'll do it again. Judas will betray him. You at times will betray him. You're human. I'm human. And yet he goes, knowing full well what will happen. Loving and serving others is definitely risky business. And there's no guarantee, as we see with Judas, that our acts of humble, loving service will be received. But that's not the point. The point isn't how the disciples responded. Peter will deny Jesus 3 times. We'll read about that next week. Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done. And then he says, do as I have done to you. Don't calculate the potential cost. Because I got news for you, it's not about you. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and in doing so, he wasn't worried about their cleanliness. Instead, he was sharing his love, giving himself, lowering himself, serving his neighbor in need. And he invites us to do the same. Love one another as I have loved you. That's how they will know that you are my disciples. Amen. Next Sunday, as I mentioned, we will move ahead in John's telling of the story of the Passion to Peter's denial of Jesus.